Well, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Sorry for the late entrance, having wardrobe problems. That's why men were never intending to wear a dress. It just doesn't always work out well. All my stuff's in the back of my car, so I had to try to find something else to put on. Normally what I do on probably 95% of the time when I share in noon is just a flow from overflow from what the Lord tells me to hang out in Scripture. And there's one place that probably as much or more than any other place in Scripture through my 40-something year walk with the Lord has been Romans chapter 6. So I'm always surprised when the Lord said, I want to speak to you in Romans chapter 6, because I can't even read Romans chapter 6. I've written so much stuff in it. Much less, I think, okay, Lord, what else can I learn? But what I've discovered about the Lord, one of the fun things about our relationship with Him and this gift called Scripture, you have to remember, many generations of Christians never had this. There are Christians around the world who don't know how to read, who don't get to use this. It's read to them. It's sufficient. God will use what He can use. But I always tell people the Bible's like hearing God's voice for dummies. Because the majority of the church never had a written Scripture, or they didn't have, again, the capacity to read. But I thank God for it. And so there's nothing more fun. I had to fill out something recently about what is your hobby? What's your favorite hobby? I thought, my favorite hobby is hearing God speak to me through Scripture. That's my favorite hobby, because He always says fascinating things. And in the process, because God had created every language, and He knows all the languages that of the angels, and therefore He can speak the same truth to you, but use different language, use different wording, just use different syntax, put things in a different place in a sentence. And it's like it comes alive to you again. Now, that's what happens to me a lot in Romans chapter 6. When you look at Romans 6, what leads into Romans 6 is, of course, Romans 5. And Romans 5 is just reiterating the fact that all the mess that one person's transgression, Adam, created and brought spiritual death to all mankind, through one life, and one act, the cross, Jesus undid all that. And there are only two kind of people in the world, those who don't know they're in Christ and those who do. And those who do know they're in Christ, they're born again. Those who don't are still living as if they were in Adam. You see, if one person's act drug every person into this one place, that's bad, well, how much more powerful is Jesus, dragging all of humanity into another place? And it's all a gift. Our righteousness before God is a gift. As a matter of fact, it's the person Jesus. Jesus is my righteousness before God. And the grace that I live by in the Christian life is Jesus. Jesus is God's grace to me. Jesus is God's grace to you. Whatever God wants to do in your life, now let's just say if you're walking through some situation and you're tempted to get angry, and the Lord said, well, and you had this conversation with the Lord, well, Lord, how do I not get angry? He said, I tell you what, I'll give you Jesus for that. That's my grace gift, is Jesus and His ability to not get angry. Wow, that's a pretty good thing. Or if there's somebody who's difficult to love, who's hurt you, and you need to love them and forgive them, but you don't know how. And He said, well, but you understand, I've given you Jesus to handle that situation in you. And it's a free gift. So everything God wants to do for us is in the person of Jesus as a free gift. That's just amazing. And so when you get into chapter 6, He just sort of begins to sum up some things, some realities. Because one of the things He said in chapter 5 was, if sin abounds, Grace abounds even more. No matter how much you've struggled with a certain sin, there's the grace of forgiveness, but there's also God's grace. Christ is more powerful than that sin. You never have to use language like, well, it just is what it is. I just am what I am. No, you are who He is. So let me just read these verses, and just a couple of things I want to point out, because there's a gazillion things here. I'll point out the things I can read. How about that? The parts I can't see, I won't try to point out. He said, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? In other words, it's where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So therefore, we can just sin more because grace will be there. He said, may it never be. Or the King James says, God forbid. How shall we live? How shall we who died to sin still live in it? So when did that happen? When did I die to sin? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? And therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. And the very next verse says, don't you know that your old self died? And so we often think about receiving Christ into our hearts, into our lives. That's kind of the prayer that we do. It's sort of the Baptist bar mitzvah prayer. And does Christ come into our life when we're, quote, born again? Yes. But it's not really so much you're receiving Christ into your life. Is what the Scripture makes really clear. You're baptized into His life. He receives you into His life. He receives you into His existence. And that's a free gift. It's not like God forgives you and then winds you up and says, now prove to me how much you love me and live a godly life. And the Holy Spirit will help you. I'll cheer you on. That's not what God did. God said, I'm going to make you in Christ one. Therefore, you have Him as a free gift to live this godly life. You've been baptized. The word baptized is the word to dip or to immerse. So it came from a word that people who would work with material, if they wanted to change the color of material, to take a piece of porous white material or whatever, and they dip it into a dye so that it's in the dye and the dye is now in it, and its identity's changed. It's no longer a white piece of material. It's a red piece of material or a green piece of material or a black piece of material. That's immersion. That's why God honors. He'll honor if you sprinkle people or hose them off, because the symbol isn't the issue, the grace is, but the best symbol is immersion. Because that's what's happened. You were immersed into the life of Jesus. Now, in doing that, He's now immersed into your life. But the real question should be people said, would you like to say yes to Jesus receiving you into His life and His existence? He did that for you. Would you like to receive that gift? Accept that gift? That's really the prayer. That's really the word. And so He says, how can we who are dead to sin still live in it? Or don't you know that you were immersed into the life of Christ? You were baptized into His life. And then He goes on and says, when He was crucified, therefore, you were crucified. Who, what you, what me, what you? The you that was a slave to sin. The you that was an independent person trying to make life work. That person was crucified. And He goes on, He says this in verse 9 and 10. For the death that He died, and you were in Him, remember, at the cross, the death that He died, He died to sin once for all. So did you. So did I. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he's living before God. He's living to God. The life he's living now is a walk with God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but living to God in Christ Jesus. What Jesus has done is that by being baptized into him, what's true about you is that his death to sin was your death to sin. His burial was your burial. His resurrection was your resurrection. And his walk with God is now your walk with God. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives, he's living to God. Even so, because you're in Christ now, you've been placed in him, you're immersed in him, even so, consider yourselves dead to sin. If you're in him, if you're in union with him, then he can't be dead to sin and you not be dead to sin. He can't be dead to fear and you not be dead to fear. He can't be dead to anxiety and you not be dead to anxiety. He can't be dead to greed and you not be dead to greed. He can't be dead to unforgiveness and you not be dead to unforgiveness. He can't be dead to lust and you not be dead to lust. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but living to God in Christ Jesus' walk with God. You might go, well, Bishop, I'm trying to walk with God. Then quit it. Quit it. Why don't you simply rest in his walk with God? Why don't you just trust in his walk with God? So if you're trying so hard to walk with God, you now have been included into his walk with God. That's the Christian life. That's an amazing thing. And when sin comes, you've heard me say this before, let's say it's offense. None of you have ever gotten offended with anybody. I know that. But just in case you know somebody who ever has. You know, people who do it different than the way we do it or say it different and we'd have done it a different way. But I know none of us have ever done that. But just in case you have a friend who ever has, I can give you something to share with them. So if the person who lived under the control of offense died in Christ, the person that you are now is one with Jesus' walk with God. Jesus doesn't get offended. And dead people can't. So the person you were, which you ain't no more, that got offended, died. Dead people can't get offended. And Jesus won't get offended. That's the Christian life. That's victory. Jesus doesn't walk in anxiety. Dead people can't. Now here's the trick. Here's what the enemy will try to do to lure you out of that resting position and then to act like you're the old man, the old self, and try to do it on your own again, get you to walk in the flesh. What he'll do is he'll start talking to you like, yeah, but how is he going to fix this situation? If you're like resting in his walk, how is he going to work this thing out? And then if he can get us starting to think about that and we can't figure out how he's going to do it, then we all of a sudden are walking in the flesh. Do you see that? We're dead people trying to handle a situation. That's why surrender, in light of what God's doing today, is so important. Because surrender says, all I know is your walk with God is my walk with God, and how you do it, I don't care. And what it costs me, it doesn't matter, because it's not my life anymore anyway. I can believe for certain things, but I see through a glass darkly. The bottom line is I know that he's ordering my steps because they're his steps, not my steps. Okay? That's Christianity 101. Lord, we thank you for your word. Cause it to be a liberating one. In Jesus' name, amen.